listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Some of you know I was a youth director before I went to seminary. And during my time at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Thousand Oaks, California, working with the junior high kids especially, a pastor came to serve that church who I greatly admired. He was only there for a short time as an interim, but we know how even short stays with dynamic leaders can be such a gift and life-changing even. I'm thinking about Pastor Elijah here. This new pastor was so kind to the people of that congregation and to me. He was very intentional in all of his conversations. He was very good at connecting people with one another and seeing the different gifts in the congregation and lining them up. He visited the sick. He met with our youth, our kids. He started up a small group program while he was there. The church grew in his short time. I knew this man as a truly kind and loving pastor, a shepherding spirit, truly, caring for God's people, loving them, feeding them with Holy Communion. He was just so nice. But the more I listened to his sermons and read his book, he actually had written a book, I started to realize that he was something more than just a nice, loving pastor. This man was a prophet for justice and equality for all. When he preached, it was like the prophet Amos or Isaiah standing in front of us, crying out on behalf of God for peace in our world and for the end of all oppression. Like Moses, "Let my people go." He called us out of our self-centered, white privileged ways that failed to extend that same love that we've received to the margins, to those on the edge, to the immigrant, the stranger, the outcast, and the forgotten. He spoke out about racism and injustice in the world. He even talked about justice for the earth and all the creatures of God. It was also the first time I had ever considered that the United States might just be the new Roman Empire. And he reminded us often about Jesus' ministry over and against, actually under, the most powerful nation in the world. We squirmed uncomfortably in our pews on Sunday mornings when he would preach. But something cracked me open, and I saw him in a new way. God is calling us to be more than just a nice place and nice people that gather for worship once a week, he prophesied. God is calling us to do more than just offer some charity to the poor, offer some generous handouts down to those who have less. All these things are good and okay, but God is calling us, he would preach, to be about radical, systemic change. Dreaming and risking it all for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it means our lives. And then he would kindly greet each of us with a handshake or a hug, always a nice smile, as we came out of the church at the end of the service. This pastor that I'm talking about is George Johnson. Of blessed memory, George died just this last fall. George became my friend, my colleague when I was ordained. He was so nice. He was a gentle pastor. But at one point, I started to see him in this new way, you see. He was a fiery prophet calling for justice and change, challenging us to risk our lives and to be actual disciples, actual followers of Jesus, not just safe, comfortable believers in Jesus. And he was always distinguishing between that believing versus actually following. As we look at our text for today on this Transfiguration Sunday, and as we've been looking at the Gospel of Mark in this cold season, this season after Epiphany, I think it can be pretty easy and even tempting to conclude that Jesus is just a prophet for social justice and change. If you just look at Mark, live in Mark, up to this chapter 9, I think it would be pretty easy to conclude that. That's because Jesus is, just like Pastor George, was just a kind, loving God at first glance. Up to this point, chapter 9 in Mark, Jesus has turned his world on its head with his love and his care for the poor and the outcast, with his casting out of the demon, the demonic systems, and the illnesses in individuals. As Jesus brings women and children to the center, touching and healing the ritually unclean, the bleeding, the dead, the foreigner. I mean, Jesus is advocating truly universal health, education, and equality for everyone. That's going to upset some people. It's not a detached, complicated, sanitized spirituality with Jesus in the first 9 chapters of Mark. He's not hovering esoterically. He's rooted and radical and real. It's ministry on the ground and in the trenches. Tangible, immediate, and welcoming. Yes? Have you seen that in the first 9 chapters? I'm always amazed how this social justice of Jesus gets suppressed, even denied many times by Christians themselves, only seeing him as a spiritual savior of individual souls, rather than an incarnate savior of whole communities and systems, particularly, especially for those who are oppressed or overlooked. Mark chapters 1 through 9 reeks of Jesus' radical justice agenda. But just like good old Pastor George was more than just a nice, sweet pastor, which he was, there was more. Friends, Jesus is more than just a prophet for social justice and radical welcome of the stranger and the outcast, which he is and always will be, but there's more. And in our text today, a few disciples, and us, by the way, we get a glimpse of this too just by reading the story. A few disciples get cracked open to see this Jesus in an even larger way. See, this isn't about getting something wrong about someone and suddenly seeing them in a totally new and different way. That can happen in other situations in our lives, but this text and the story that I'm sharing too from my experience, this is about getting a person right, but suddenly seeing them in an even more expansive way. There's something even bigger going on here. Setting our mind, one might say, not just on earthly things, but even more on divine things. This prophet Jesus, he was such a prophet that some were mistaking him for other prophets, John the Baptist and Elijah. We see that in the text. This prophet for social justice and change was even more than that, friends in Christ. This prophet was God's own son. Listen to him. Listen to his agenda. All this stuff he's been doing up to this point is more than just earthly revolutionary activists for change behavior, upturning traditions and challenging assumptions. This is divine presence come down to be among us, to be for us and for everyone. This is God's Son. What a way to end this season after Epiphany, friends, and move into Lent, as we will on Wednesday. We're ending this season after Epiphany with another Epiphany. This season is marked really by an Epiphany at the beginning and an Epiphany at the end that is a divine revealing. This is my Son, the Beloved, and then the command, listen to him. Transfiguration is the mountaintop experience of this time of the church year, before we drop down into Lent this week. Know that the one you follow, the one who brings children and women to the center, who heals the sick and the demon-possessed, who welcomes the outsider, even if their religion or their appearance is different. Know that the one who you follow, who calls and empowers the people of his time and us to imitate him in this radical business of not just donating, but sharing, moving aside and faithfully letting go. Know that that one you follow isn't just a human prophet for justice and peace. He's even more. He's God's own son. He's the salvation of the world. He's life eternal for you and for all. He's love everlasting. He's grace and peace that the world cannot give. He's freedom and joy. He's hope for the future and thanksgiving for the past. He's bread and wine, body and blood poured out for you and for everyone, even the creatures. He so loves this whole earth that he gave his whole self away. Know that the one who heals the sick and raises the dead raises you too, right now, from that which holds you down and holds you back from being truly the beloved child that God has created you to be. Know that this prophet Jesus is forgiveness of all your sins, all your self-centered behavior, all your ignorance and shame and greed and envy gone. Jesus is God's son, not just a social prophet. And you are made new today because of it. Your slate has been wiped clean. And you now are being sent back out there into this Lenten season, into the coming spring, into this time of renewal, hopeful and at peace and ready to serve. Ready to pray and fast and give. Those are the disciplines, the traditional disciplines of Lent. We're being sent out to do these things with hope, sent to pray, sent to fast, sent to give as Jesus did. So let's listen to him, siblings in Christ. Let's listen to him. Let's hold out our hands and open our ears and our minds and our hearts as we move off the icy and foggy mountaintop of revelation, of manifestation, of transfiguration, and continue to listen. For God's own Son has got something to say and something to give. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.